I'd like to call the March 8th meeting of the Recreation Committee to order. Roll call.
Bill Ray.
Here.
Yvonne Cruz.
Here.
Ari Bidet.
Here.
Erica. Not here. Yeah. Simon Ponder.
Here.
Tanya Walker is excused. Susan Connolly will be here.
With recognition that we have a quorum, we presented the minutes of the February 8th meeting. If there's no questions or comments, I'll have entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve minutes. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion carries. Next is public comment. Do we have any members of the public wishing to comment or appear? No people from the public wishing to comment or persons wishing to appear. We'll move on to unfinished business. We're going to vote for vice chairman. Board will now accept nominations.
Who of those people does not here?
There you go. I would strongly recommend that.
Yvonne Cruz.
Oh.
I'm here. Listen to him.
We can always, you know, there's some of us been on this board for a while. I think it's every new board member's responsibility that they should serve. If they're newly elected to this, newly appointed to this board, maybe the new board member could serve as vice chairman.
Who is the newest person?
There's this guy down here at the end that used to sit on the other side of the table. Now he sits on this side of the table.
I think you were talking about you.
People that have recently retired from the workforce and now have more to do than they had.
Then I guess I will nominate Ira Bethea.
Y'all know Bethea.
Close enough.
We have a motion made. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded. I see how this vote's going. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Can I leave now?
Congratulations, Ira.
You showed up and fully started there.
Yeah. Ira, the pay is fabulous, but the hours are hell. New business. Something came up for discussion, and that was with our workloads and everything else, and sometimes we've had difficulty making quorums. Do we want to, or at least have a dialogue of having monthly or bi-monthly or quarterly meetings? Remain the same? Yeah, there's
What's everybody else doing on all these volunteer city and county boards?
Are they
meeting
quarterly.
Monthly?
Quarterly.
So this is the tennis, only one that's
yeah,
monthly?
Tennis meets tennis board meets quarterly.
Golf is quarterly.
Oh,
math meets outside of recreation.
Yeah. This is the only one that's monthly.
I mean,
I was trying to think, like the tree commission is quarterly.
They quarterly planning
the tree
board.
Months,
like every 6 months.
Yeah, twice a year.
Right.
I will say, I think we're the only commission or board that meets every month.
Yeah.
Some are probably, like you said, here 8 times a year.
Yeah,
for OMAC.
And Discovery was doing monthly, but they're moving towards a quarterly. The foundation.
And I think planning is twice a year, every 6 months.
I think we're doing a lot of things. We've got a lot of projects on the table that particularly involving with the kids, in my opinion, needs, you know, some constant movement. We're changing some programs and everything else like that. I think a bi-monthly meeting date would give us perhaps the ability to be able to get clear indication of where staff is going, get direction as us from the board, and then they have 60 days to get a program implemented and up and running, rather than revisit the same issue the next month and say, well, okay, we said start this program, and today we started the program.
And yeah.
Make some significant progress.
Mm-hmm. Correct. To where it's then as far as us as board members, we can then be in the position, rather than nodding our head, we can give or receive feedback and direction. And I don't want to put staff in a position where a disproportionate amount of their time is preparing for the board meeting, rather than, I would rather have you attending to the task at hand than preparing for the board meeting. Those are, and again, these are just my thoughts for discussion. And
so I'd like to ask staff what they think about that. You know.
Yeah.
As far as reporting?
Yes.
Bi-monthly versus.
Bi-monthly versus monthly.
I mean, I think once a month
is too often, yeah.
Because some things, you know, like you say, you haven't even really had a chance to implement or something like that. You know, I think twice a year is probably not enough.
Oh, no.
You know,
we'd be quarter, in for 4 hours,
right? You know, and quarterly, I mean, quarterly has worked. I know that there's been times with the tennis board that, like, something big was coming up and the meeting was not going to be for a couple more months, so we called a special meeting, right, just to get their input and advice that we could pass along to council.
Well, that's an option.
So, mm-hmm.
And you can always do that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, bi-monthly or quarterly, you know, I mean, it makes no difference to me, but I do know that we have done that for quarterly boards if necessary, if we need that. Mm-hmm. But there, that might be, you know, too long in between meetings for you guys. But
I'd like to make a recommendation.
Personally, I think bi-monthly would be better, because this group does too many things that are done seasonally. Mm-hmm. And a season is only 3 months. You know?
That's a good point. That is a good point.
Like when you start gearing up for summer programs. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, you have a meeting before and you got a meeting after, or in the middle of it and months afterward.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, since most things are done that way, I would be in favor of a bi-monthly meeting.
Yeah.
You bring up a very good point, and that's when, as we are, a lot of our stuff is fall, summer, spring, winter work programs. With the quarterly, it's going to be a board instruction of get something done, and then the follow-up, the next quarter's, well, did it happen? Mm-hmm. And then you missed a whole calendar year.
And there have been times when I've thought of something with tennis. Something happens like right after the board meeting or something, and it's going to be a long time, and it might even be finished before then. And it's like, it'd be nice if there was another meeting. And sometimes calling special meetings, it's a big ordeal, because to try to get enough people that can go, mm-hmm. a lot of times it's not for 2.5 weeks, mm-hmm. and you really needed it, you know. But again, you know, no matter when your meeting is, you're going to run into issues like that, you know. So, but yeah, bi-monthly makes sense.
I'd like to make a recommendation that we move on the bi-monthly meeting.
Okay, we have a motion. Making that as a form of a motion?
Yes, sir.
We have a motion. I need a second.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to change the meetings for the Parks and Rec Commission to a bi-monthly agenda. And that would make our next meeting would be May 10th. We would keep it at the current scheduled time and then go to a bi-monthly meeting. All those in favor, please signify.
Can we discuss that? Go ahead.
Now, do we want to just automatically move to that month, or do we want to have somebody look at the calendar right now to see if that would be a good cycle for me?
Right.
It kind of...
Kathy mentioned maybe not having one in December because of holidays, vacations, things like that. So,
well, it's not far out in December. This is only goes up to September anyway.
Right, but if you did September, then it would be November.
Well,
so you would miss December.
So you would miss it, yeah. September, yeah. November. Mm-hmm.
So it is the right cycle then.
November.
Yeah.
It actually does work out good, because I like having one in May, because it's right before the summer programs kick off. So that's why when he said May, I was like,
it's just in time for us to tell you you better be at Levitt.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that works out really good.
So we want to keep the schedule
up so we can recap.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that works out real good because basically what it is, it's May.
But it'll be
July.
May, July, September, November, January.
Then we go to the new year.
March, yeah. May. Yeah, that works out perfect.
Okay. Close the item for discussion. Go back to our vote. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, like sign. Motion carries. Okay, now moving on to staff reports. And for a little bit of input on staff reports to help with direction so it doesn't, we're doing a lot, but if we can consolidate them and focus on items that you really need action on from this board.
Okay.
And then if anything, have a handout that we can receive and then, review that. But we don't need, I expect staff to do and is doing a good job as anticipated and to make your time more efficient. I would rather focus our discussion as a board on what you need from us and not so much of this is what I did this week, this is what I did this week. I don't want this board to go in a thing to where we start filling the role of, being your manager.
Okay.
We're not.
You don't want to report back, though, on big things?
Oh, no. We want successes and stuff, but as far as some of the,
We like threats and opportunities as well.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do today...
That's what you need.
What I'm going to do is just touch on several projects instead of the whole project list.
That's fine.
But I think that y'all... You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Then moving forward in May, I'll have something that I can pass out to you or do it the same
yeah.
way. But just hit on...
That's right. You can, and then
that I think would be of interest to you, or like you say, need your input.
And then if it comes up to our board, and that's why I think the list helps, is that if mm-hmm. the board, or even if it can come in when the board packets come out, if mm-hmm. we see something, basically it's falling on the agenda item that we see on other commissions, where you have a consent agenda, and then you have items off the consent agenda that you can pull for discussion,
mm-hmm.
and then items for specific discussion. Where if we see something such as a special event that you have, that it was a tea party for the Retired Veterans Administration or something,
mm-hmm.
and you expand, went off great, that's great. But if we have a special comment, we can pull it and ask you, but you don't have to go through that.
Just make it part of the agenda. That's fine. That works.
Okay.
So we'll say, the Legacy Park nominees went to council this week at that council meeting. They were approved, so we'll move forward on the ten inductees, and so I'm just working on two more quotes for the paper.
So with the moving forward, and I think Irene and I both share this. What is our aspirational goal? What is our end date? When is we looking at making this happen that we can have them out there? And
well, I'm tied to being able to get two more quotes.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I've got one, and I've got just under $15,000, and that's with us doing the demo
right.
and paying for the concrete. Because something that a past staff person thought it was going to be like $3,900 or $3,400, it was like $17,000 and something.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm working on it right now. So as soon as I can do it. Right now, construction costs are really, really high, and it's hard to get people to do small jobs.
Right.
So I'm going to have to be innovative in how I get these other two quotes. I'm ready, I'm ready to get it done. And so I'll go just as hard as I can. But again... I can already get the 16 by 16. Pavers that are to be engraved, I can get those ordered and go ahead and get those engraved. So it's just a matter of, you know, getting somebody to install them. So
mm-hmm.
I think, I don't think it'll get, you know, drug out too far.
Yeah, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months?
I would say 3 months.
Okay. And I realize that's an aspirational goal. That's not a shall occur within 3 months because there's...
Right. I think it's reasonable that we could expect it to be done then because it's already in the process.
You got any comment? Is that, you know...
Well, no, I understand where she at right now. I mean, with that, I mean...
Yeah.
The contract is what it is. The contractors are out there at that big money right now. The economy is doing better. They've been shut down for a long time. They're out there trying to get that big buck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to get somebody to come in and do little jobs.
Yeah. Well, and with us, and thank you, with us doing the demo and paying for the concrete, the good thing is I did get it just under $15,000, which means I don't have to do formal
competitive bids.
Yeah, I can just do, you know, it's a matter of like getting a couple emails back. So at least it's going to be easier than that. I mean, I still have to get two more quotes, but it's an informal type thing.
Do these contractors that you get now have to be under the city bid type thing?
Well, for these quotes, they don't so much. Now, whoever gets it will have to, you know, turn in their insurance and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But, yeah, this is the best case scenario.
I was just thinking about Ray Samuels. Do you remember LaMonica's brother?
Oh, because that...
Contractor.
Okay.
General contractor.
All right, yeah, because... And the thing about it is, I don't even know, you know, this isn't anything... that has to be permitted or anything like that. So it really, as long as it's somebody that has insurance, mm-hmm. that's really all I need.
Well, I know you have insurance.
Yeah.
The Scotts or what you call them, uh-huh. the Talberts. But I definitely know that Ray.
Yeah.
So is Sam.
Okay. All right.
It's an open bid, if we know people that we can...
Yeah, I was going
to
say...
I would love to see somebody from the community get the job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a small job.
Yeah. Oh, that would be cool. But, anyway, Heritage Nature Conservancy, we're going to have our little... re-grand opening on April the 14th from noon to 2. We're just going to invite the neighborhood, you know, kids and things like that. And do
Is that
some
a weekday
ranger
or a
programs.
Weekend?
It's a Saturday.
I'll put that on my calendar.
The sports lighting bid for tennis and football at MLK and Jeremy Gant softball is on the street. So that RFP is out. And I think other than that, we got the Jim Kirk Park dedication. We held that. And the 16th of last month, we had a real good turnout for that. That was nice. The family was real, Miss Kirk was real sweet. Yeah. So, and it just so happened that her daughter that lives in North Carolina was in town.
Mm.
So we were able to, when Russell called me and told me that, we were able to get it set up.
The lighting is MLK Gant and where about us? Wales?
It's the football, it's Webb and the tennis courts at MLK and then
okay.
and then the yeah. softball field at
it
Gant.
The tennis courts.
So I think other than that, and the park sign replacement program, the one that we're working with growth management on, the digital signs,
right.
mm-hmm.
that's going to start pretty soon. We're getting ready to trench for electric and fiber and for the digital signs, and that's going to be Tuscaloosa, MLK, and Gant are the ones that will be done like that. Clyatt is another one, but that's going to be in the next budget year because of the cost for the digital sign. So then we'll have our main roads with digital signage.
Good.
And of course, the other entry points at those parks will also have a matching sign. It just won't be digital, obviously. So those are going to be really nice. They're matching all the wayfinding signs and stuff. That contractor's doing it. So we're good there. I think that's should pique your interest.
Good. Okay, park operations. He's out right now. So we move on to recreation.
So aquatics, Julie worked with our procurement to get our two slides structures repainted. Jervy, the metal portion was way worse, as we may have talked about before. So they sandblasted that down to bare, well, both facilities, it went down to bare metal on most of it. And then repainted everything, redid the slides. And if you haven't driven by, the exterior of the slide is a nice blue. Mm-hmm. So it adds a nice little pop of color in there. Couple minor repairs, some tiles popped here and there. We'll get those replaced here in the next week. The family bathrooms, the floor will be done. So all those repairs should get us ready for opening well before the end of May. We're shooting for May 1st to have everything ready to go. And then what we put in for the budget for this year is to do have a larger, more in detailed look at the pool's aquatic facilities. We know there's some decking issues, there's some potential tile issues. So we're going to more of a capital improvement type to do a big, not overhaul, but more of a let's take care of it completely, as opposed to a Band-Aid here, a Band-Aid there, a tile there. So we're going to get everything looked at, and we'll see where that goes in the budget process. But that, if that were to happen, it would be next year in the off season, so we can get open on time. Staffing, just a quick update. We have filled the recreation program supervisor at Eden Crossing. Candidate is Jacob Baker, who's going through the HR process at this point. He's accepted. We're just working through all the checks and background clearances, and we're expecting and hoping by the end of the month.
Where is he from?
Jacob has been a seasonal employee for us for 5 or so years, working with aquatics and the skate rink.
Oh, Jacob that was up at the skate rink?
Yes, Jacob. And then he currently works for the school board. He's done extended day aftercare, and he's currently in the guidance office with the Marion County School Board.
Let's go back to the pool and the floor. You said you refinished the floor?
The two family restrooms.
Yes.
They had the floor resurfaced with, it's not the garage coating, but it's more, it's not concrete anymore. So they put a coating on to match the two. Yeah, it's an epoxy base, floor coating to meet the other changing rooms. Anything else?
No, I'll let you know.
Okay. So if you're not aware, April Farrell, who was a rec leader over at 8th Avenue, she resigned to take a different position. And we have found a candidate already, and that person is in the HR pipeline. Once again, background checks, whatnot. Hoping to have her on board soon. Someone mentioned summer jobs. We're ramping up. All of our summer jobs are posted, and we'll get that rolling.
Questions?
Yes.
Have you given any thought to hiring young folks like 18 to 24? The reason I'm bringing that up is because, what's the name of it? Source One? What's the name of it?
Career Source.
They will pay for young people to be employed, like during the summer. Like the city used to have a program called the YES program and all of that. Mm-hmm. which is the same thing, trying to get kids into the workforce.
It's like youth employment services or whatever it's stood for.
So it's just something to think about, John.
Is that mostly coming out of, that's a, you know, a hiring service using local kids?
Yes. Michelle Schultz was the person. You know, I don't know if she's still that person, but she was the person. She's there.
I think that would be a, I think that'd be a good, just a direction is to, besides all of the resume source shotgun, is to hit that group specifically and provide them even with a leg up, you know, prior to putting out the public notices, let them know what these are, our upcoming job positions are.
And they do a lot of the interviewing the kids and all that to make sure that they fit your job description and stuff, the ones that they would recommend to us, and then you would take and
they would do a pre-interview, pre-interview, pre-screening process.
You know, just trying to get them right to get into the workforce.
So I was working with her last year to try to get this in place. And evidently she had tried once before with the city. But there's some liability waiver issues that this city hall wanted them to change some language, some HR, and they couldn't change it. So that kind of knocked it out.
But we never know what may be the deal this year. I mean, even with city hall, you know. I mean, it's worth a try. Nothing beat
those are things when it comes where and you're spot on, because that is where this board has value, is to where when we come in and say, listen, we recognize that placement of youth in career services with city government is a value to the community. And so if the city council, who oversees HR through the city manager, if the city council also feels that hiring our youth in our community is a benefit overall to the community, they can dictate to the city manager, who can dictate to HR, that says we need to make this happen. Because I cannot assume that we are the only city in America that faces this issue.
And definitely if they're 16, because I know that's one of our major criteria, that a child have to be 16. And I can concur with that. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But we definitely need to see what we can do.
When we look at, career services of our high schools, we have graduating seniors that have no job, that are not going to college for whatever reason. But if they know a year ahead of time that, hey, we've got 10 openings in Parks and Recreation with the city that you can be training for, you know, that can be a good thing.
And the money come from them. They pay. That's one thing I want to make sure I say, that they pay. They work for us, but they pay them.
You have additional staff.
Yeah, you have additional staff, you know that. I mean, think about all your camps and stuff. All of that's a positive.
I wish they would do younger kids, like the 16 and 17-year-olds, to be like junior summer camp counselors, you know, because you can sometimes, in doing that, you can create kids with a passion that go on and go to school to do what we do.
Be a Julie Johnson.
The future of it,
Well, it's a reason for them to go to school. To find out if they want to just get an AA degree or if they want to get the 4-year degree, but then they have a program over the summers that can pay for, you know, one semester of tuition. That's huge.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, we can look into that.
Okay.
In today's paper, there was something about a program that they're doing for kids. You might take a look at that and see if there's something that can pick up a few kids. I think the age group was like 18 to 24 that they're training and teaching them about the world.
Okay. We can look into that too. The only other thing I had, I'm just mentioning is that the West Ocala Community Center study procurement is in the review process for looking at consultants here in the next month or so. We should hopefully have someone, a consultant in place, and then the consultant will do what consultants do when preparing the plan for a community center on that side of town.
Are they trying to find a place for it? Or are
currently they're looking at the former Royal Oak property. The consultant will make recommendations. I think that's part of the process of where's the best property? What does the building, or what does the community want? What do we want? And that's what they do. Help provide some formal guidelines with information to back it up.
You know, that's what he does.
Did the West Ocala community plan, and that's what Ari and I actually worked a lot together on. And now that's out on the street, I'll actually see about going after it. Yeah. You know, get Jeff, you know, McNeil back up, and then we get, you know, probably they have a requirement for a local architect.
Everything's on Fit Ocala. It's in the procurement process, so hopefully soon we'll have a final one.
Okay.
Oh, I have.
And moving on, come back to parks and operation. Seeing that you were out operating the parks.
I was doing some operations out there at Tuscaloosa just now. So on our end, staffing, we have a few positions open. One of our longtime equipment operator threes from ORS retired this past month and opened up as a position in which another employee moved up. No, that was Steve Jones, that retired. Marty Mahaffey, who was our irrigation specialist on our specialty field crews, has moved into that position. He ended up interviewing and got the position. So that's opened up his old position as irrigation specialist for the specialty field crews, trying to maintain the ball fields, all the ball fields throughout the city. And then we have a equipment operator, one open, and our park ranger position closed 2 days ago, and tomorrow by close of business we will have our selection completed with who we're going to interview and move forward with that. So we're looking forward to that, so we can have two rangers closing at night. That's a new position. That'll give us two rangers to improve our safety and security at night, and some accountability within the guys, so they have somebody they can communicate with, since everybody else is gone at this point, typically by 6-7 o'clock, and you have one ranger work until 11:30 without any communication with anyone. So this just makes it a little bit safer for our folks in the field, be it a guy or a gal. Fort King programs, I know we spoke the other day when you came for the meeting early, the Mark Williams program was a huge hit. I don't know if anyone else attended.
I was there.
How'd you like it?
Oh, I loved it.
Because I got nothing but phenomenal reviews off of it. I just reviewed those today. We had surveys, which I think you did a survey, and they were all sixes, yeses across the top. They were great. Everybody loved them.
About how many people did you have? Just rough ballpark, 5, 50?
Well, she was there. I wasn't there for that one.
Maybe 20, 25. It wasn't huge, which I liked, because, I mean, it's not like he's talking with a microphone, so you can still hear everything that's going on. And, of course, everybody else is talking. But so I like that small group.
Yeah, and we are going to have Mark
30
back
people, I guess.
Again.
Really? Good.
Yeah, he'll be back again, and he's going to do another program altogether on medicinals for us.
Okay.
So he's a great guy. I know I've seen him. I know Bill has seen him before in Nashville. I've seen him twice here and in Nashville. But the Fort King programs are moving ahead. Kiefer and Caroline there are doing a phenomenal job. The attendance at the fort has jumped up drastically since the fort's been completed now. It's like 50 people a day coming in there and walking the park and checking out the fort. And, we've got it open right now. 4 days a week, and we're trying to get the volunteers in line so we can have it 6 days a week, being Monday through Saturday.
Sure, I haven't been out there since we've reopened it, shame to say. But is there the proverbial, you know, visitor's logbook?
There is.
Yeah, to sign in, because it'd be interesting just to find out what our market is, how many people are from inside the area, and then how many people we have from outside the area.
We track that. Yeah. The Fort King Heritage Association tracks that. They also use all the emails off of that list to send out their emailings for programs. We use it for programs and newsletters on the floor. We do a quarterly newsletter. It goes out to everybody on that list as well. And they are pretty much filling it out. We can pull the numbers easily.
It'd be interesting to find out. Yeah, but and this is
I'll get you the numbers for
yeah, where we came with it bi-monthly, and we'll find track by that year we'll get through the spring. We'll have all the winter numbers. And just say
he wasn't in here. It's not next month. We're going bi-monthly. You were working in the park. Okay. You've got 2 months.
So you can go back and work.
Good
deal. See what you missed?
But yeah, we can pull those stats and have those to you for the next one, for sure. Trying to think outside of that. I don't know if anyone's covered the splash pads.
Go ahead. It's yours. No, and obviously the other thing that you missed is we're not going to go over every little thing all the time. Not saying you shouldn't say that, right. But just saying you don't have to go through every little thing, yeah. Just the points, the big topics. So,
big like one is the splash pads are opening up Saturday, right. Uh-huh. Oh. So we're excited. We've already ran the one downtown today at Citizen Circle. It's operational. John's working.
Good thing it's not open tomorrow. So, I was in the morning, it's supposed to be real chilly.
Splash pads are opening, and we're excited about that.
Yeah,
Reading Ranger on your packets. We'll kick off here June 1st, and we'll kick it off actually in April with Dr. Heidi Myers' literacy program on the square. And all the Rangers will participate in that. So we're excited about this. This is a program we started 2 years ago, and it's just grown exponentially for us. So we're really excited about that.
Splash pad. Lily and Brian. Starting a new season. No power still.
So we talked about power going there. Just recently in another meeting. We can't get it to the really nice pavilion that's down there by the splash pad. The one that's to the west of it?
The big one?
The big, it's kind of like this one. Looks like this one over here.
The gazebo stuff.
No, that's the one that's over by the playground.
Yeah, it's between the playground and the splash pad. We can't get it to that one. We talked about getting it over to the other pavilion. We have some concerns. Typically when we put power in, it's to support an event. We put power in here, we put power in downtown, and we get the power, and what it ends up doing is we end up with the wrong element sitting there all day, which then the family user comes and they look at the group that's there and they don't want to be there. So it creates some issues to that extent. So it's definitely something we wanted to revisit and think real careful about, because once we do it, it's the money spent.
Yeah, but that the large pavilion, it's being reserved almost every weekend, 2-3 times a day. You're getting ready to open up the splash pad. It's going to start right back again. There's no reason we should not have power there under that pavilion. I mean, when we talked about this a year ago, and they put power in some of the other places, but we still don't have any there.
Right.
And is there a cost for reserving that pavilion?
There is. There is. It's a minimal fee.
Another reason why there should be power available to them.
But we don't put power in the pavilions typically.
We have power in others. We have power at Jervigant. We have power at MLK.
Do we have power at Jervigant pavilions?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. There's lights at the Jervigant one. That's the only one that I'm aware of, other than MLK, which was funded through the Sheriff's Department because of the issues we were having.
If we have a understanding both concerns, but there is the opportunity is to have it where the power only gets turned on to that receptacle when a reserve group comes in.
They can put a lock on it or whatever they need to do and make it available for the people that are reserving it. That's the only thing I'm concerned with.
Yeah,
people that are reserving that pavilion
That should not have access
to power.
So we put the locks on, and we do it at all.
Okay.
And we're constantly replacing them. They're constantly broken. And it's not the lock, it's the whole cover's broken. That's the issue we face downtown. That's the issue we face here in Tuscarawilla, at the art park, another one. We don't typically put power in pavilions. The only ones that do have it is, as far as I'm aware, is Jerby Gant, and that's an old, old pavilion. And then we added it. And the reason we added it, the actual reason we added it at MLK was a security reason, because they needed it to be able to run. The police needed it to run equipment there.
Police, what are we putting the police running?
Yeah, OPD needed it for.
Surveillance for people breaking stuff out there. It was a lot of break-ins.
Yeah, when we had 11 concert series last year.
Didn't somebody shoot?
Well, there's just been two shootings there in the last 3 months. I got baseball teams wanting to leave there because of that. But during the Levitt concert series, there was a lot
of issues. Oh, they were robbing people in
going
the cars
on.
Yeah,
there was 15 to 20 kids that were gathering there. They would see somebody come in that they don't recognize them. Two or three would go to the car, rob them at gunpoint, leave with the whatever they stole, leave the gun with another kid. Somebody else would come. They'd do the same thing. Those kids would leave. Then someone else would come, and that went on and on and on. So we didn't install the electric. That was actually OPD that installed it, because they came to us and we let them know we don't have a budget.
See, that's not what I was told last year. That's not what I was told sitting right here.
It's there.
Last year.
Yeah, that was why that it was done.
Well, we couldn't tell you why at the time.
They wouldn't let us say.
So
why not? I haven't heard anything yet that should be considered confidential or that should require any kind of clearance.
Yeah. We can't divulge their operation. I mean, that's...
So now we're looking back. Where we have a request, there's a need. Is there the ability to have I understand the practicality of power drop boxes in public facilities. Get that. Is there the ability to have the breaker switch inside of a structure away from, again, to where somebody reserves the building? It can be turned on, but not where the people, where there's the incentive to cut the lock off and then go hook into the power for whatever need somebody wants, if that's not live until it gets turned on inside.
So that's the case specifically at MLK.
Yeah.
And we repair it no less than a half a dozen times a year.
Okay. Six times a year, every other month, we're putting a new lock on the thing.
No, we're having to put a new case.
Okay.
Well, my concern with it all is having the resources to have somebody go out there and unlock it in time for the rental.
Mm-hmm.
Because more times than not, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, that concerns me. Because I just know from dealing with it, if, you know, somebody has a rental at this time, we have one ranger on duty in the morning, and that person not being able to get over there because of something else happens and somebody is expecting to have power. Because, you know, it would be nice to have power at those, you know, when people are having, a family reunion or whatever it may be, to plug in a crock pot. Mm-hmm. Or
music or,
you know,
anything,
and
yeah.
Things like that. You know, it's...
There is a benefit for power, and we see it in the... Mm-hmm. I see them in county parks versus state parks versus national parks. The national parks generally don't have them. State parks generally don't have them because it's a maintenance issue, but it's also usually they're pretty daggone remote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll have a lot of national park campgrounds that don't even have power to them.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe what... But then at the same time, we don't have a pilot. We don't want a perceived program of where we have services that are provided to one area of town that are not provided to another area of town. And maybe if we have it at Jerry Gant, you know, maybe that's the issue, is that it doesn't need to be there, even though it's in the
Well, park. I didn't even remember them having it. Yeah. I always remember they had no power and no water at any of the pavilions. I mean, do all the pavilions at Derby Gant have it?
Only one I know that has power, and I don't even know that it's operational, is the one by the ball field that we're redoing.
Yeah, yeah. Big one. Didn't the big one have lights?
It's got lights underneath it, yeah.
It got lights in it.
Yeah, I didn't.
Well, but what is happening now, instead of us being a deterrent, the people is being a deterrent to us. Instead of us providing, we are not providing because they are vandalizing.
Right.
And what's his name? What, Catherine?
Brian.
Brian's still working?
Yeah.
Much as we love playing with those cameras and stuff, we can't get some pictures of them and get them arrested and stuff?
You can't. Well, I mean, we do when we can, but...
I'm just saying, you know, because I know he likes playing with them.
You can't be all over the place.
The cameras that were there were moved.
It's to the point that because of the element that we've had here and at the square, we shut the power off. We've been instructed to shut the power off. So we shut them off and just keep them off.
You moved the cameras from Living Brown?
The cameras? No, the cameras are in the same place, but there's not one that covers that pavilion.
No, I know there's not one that covers the pavilion. I was just talking about the cameras in general.
No, they're there. All the same cameras are still there.
When you say all the same cameras, how far back are you going? Because I can recall cameras being taken down. The one that was on the pole right by the between the pavilion and the bathroom back there?
No, there was no cameras back there.
I saw the camera on the playground.
You might see something, but there wasn't no cameras.
We can see the playground.
And I was walking the day the guy came and took the camera down.
Was it a big square one?
Not that big, but yeah. It was a square.
Was that a camera?
Because those are flash cams. They're not the same as they're not motion. They're more of a deterrent.
Because what I was talking about was, listen, I used to can sit there and look at everything that goes on between the playground and the basketball court.
Right.
You see, that's the cameras that I knew of.
We have those two, and then we have the splash pad now.
And that's what made me look for.
Okay, sir.
And that's what made me look for.
Okay. I beg your pardon.
During the conversation, you said you could sit there and monitor.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we put one by the big pavilion on the big pine tree that's sitting right there, and it got destroyed. It got busted up.
If those young folks, if they spot them, you know, if they can get where they can, you can't see them when they destroy them, they will destroy stuff, I mean. But again, we need to rethink some things. We can't let people dictate to us the path that we have to take. We have to take that path and stand by it. But so we'll bring this up again.
And you know, and probably the ones that they're trying to tear down or trying to get into, you know, the only reason for it is cell phones.
Yeah.
That's the only thing for it. I was walking through over here. And two guys, one over by the stage, had his phone plugged in. Walked around a little further, there was an outlet, there's a guy sitting there with his telephone plugged in. You know, everywhere you go, and you know, especially the kids and homeless people, they everybody got a cell phone.
Yeah.
And they stop and charge up the phone wherever.
Okay.
So what if you were just not lock them? Leave them open.
Well,
I think that
also would be a liability to the city, though.
Like you say, though.
Because if a kid stuck a pin in one of them and get electrocuted, I think the city would be liable.
Well, what we do now is we just shut the power off to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can't
use it.
Sit there and supply Wi-Fi. There's nothing to say that.
If you have them.
We would be supplying power, but we supply the Wi-Fi, and that deters the large groups that we were having. I'll tell you right now, I can show you pictures of groups of up to 20 people, 20 homeless community gathered here in blankets wrapped. Yeah. It deters the families that want to come.
Yeah.
And I have no issue with the homeless being in the parks. I'm by far, have no
it's
issue
an,
with
It's
that.
A social issue.
So long as we're doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in there doing the right thing, there's no issue with it.
Try going to McDonald's. And you got one person on this side and one person on that side, one person on that side. I mean, it's life.
Yeah,
it is. As we move on.
Yeah. Moving on to cultural arts and sciences.
Okay, on a brighter note.
These aren't dirty notes or anything. It's just fact. It's just society, and there are issues that need to be resolved.
I got to give Bill a hard time. He's not like it. Boba. Simon came to Boba. It was very successful. We had about 150 people come. Perfect sunset. The music was good. Food was good. This night after, we had a lecture at IHMC. I saw Irie at the lecture. Lecture went really well. We had about 80 people come with McLeet. The cattle drive was the weekend before Boba. We made about $1,000 more this year than we did last year, or Rotary did, that they'll give back to the DC Foundation. Rotary also agreed to give us an additional $3,000 on top of that this year. So that's pretty exciting. The wild weather exhibit at Discovery Center was up during the cattle drive. We had the greatest amount of money collected at the Discovery Center during the day of the cattle drive, which was also a good thing. Field trips at the Discovery Center were up to 3+ field trips to the Discovery Center per week. That's not including our exploration stations that go out to the schools and Star Labs, so we're really stretching our staff, so if anybody wants to come volunteer, you're more than welcome. Let's see, we have a new temporary sculpture that's going up in the art park. If you remember before the hurricane, we had the big spider web piece that was out there made out of the recycled pieces. The same artist has made a new piece out of recycled pieces over there. It's a bird, and it actually moves. You pull on the bottom and it moves. She's installing it right now as we speak, so I haven't tried it yet. The sculpture stroll, I'll send you around. It will be March 17th here at Tuscola in the Art Park. We have Audrey Spillman will be playing music. We have a puppet show that will be before that. And our community cultural arts planning consultant will be there taking information from community members at that event. And they will also be at the farmers market, downtown farmers market, that same day. They will be coming back to Ocala on April 20th to do another community outreach at Infinite Ale to try to catch that younger group that doesn't necessarily participate in planning sometimes. They're going to do that through trivia, so that'll be fun. They're also going to participate at Levitt. They're going to come to the June 20th Levitt concert and do community outreach at that as well. We've been working on the Levitt lineup and all the things that go with Levitt, so we can start that on June 15th. And we're planning on having a beer garden at least some of those events, not sure which ones yet. And we have they're calling it Discover Levitt, which is a breakfast for anyone who's interested in sponsoring or donating to Levitt on April 3rd at the Discovery Center. The garage and kitchen at Discovery Center is almost done, and the bid specs for the max renovations are almost ready to go out.
Okay, question, just point, with the Discovery Center we're talking about, we've got, you know, three field trips per week right now. Aspirational goals, you know, let's not have our failure be the result of our success. And that is, if we're seeing that now, let's plan on what we're going to do when we get 5 and 6 and 7 field trips mm-hmm. per week.
Yep, instead that's of why saying, we need more volunteers.
Yeah, well, let's do a little bit more than the volunteers, is because then we penalize the people and say, well, enough people didn't volunteer, so we can't provide the service.
Mm-hmm. That would be something Rec Commission could help advocate for, I'm guessing. I don't know if Julie would know better. Is that something they can advocate for positions? Because budgetarily we've already exhausted.
See, because then we get into that program to where our failure is due to our success. Mm-hmm. And that is where we start telling people, oh, by the way, you can't have a field trip.
Right, and we don't want to do that.
And so if we need to do that, now's the time to think about it if you're stressed now.
You mean as far as adding positions?
Adding positions, whatever it takes.
We've been advocating.
Yeah, we're always advocating for things like that.
Yeah.
There's, you know.
We've been advocating for that, and it's always the chicken before the egg, or the egg before the chicken. You know, you want to show cost recovery in a facility, but you get to the point where you're stretched when people are coming, and you're wanting, you know, as it grows, you're kind of strapped until you get to that next.
When it comes to when you come and you start operating 120%, what typically happens is you'll have a dramatic fall off, and next thing you know, you're operating back where you were at 30% because everyone says, mm-hmm. we can't get in. Mm-hmm. And then you see 2 and 3 years of where no one's there. Then since you don't have anyone there, all your staffing and funding gets cut. Mm-hmm. And great.
We haven't done that yet. We're still growing.
Yeah.
The personnel piece actually for the next fiscal year was due today. So any personnel requests for next fiscal year has been submitted.
And it's,
and we were actually told what
yeah,
no
we're pretty much told not
no new positions.
Yeah. No new positions.
Yeah.
Like I said, it comes in to where are we just bringing it up to where you have, you know, 18 to 24-year-olds that can be placed and trained and we understand all of the dialogue.
HR will work through it.
But it's
squeaky wheel. Mm-hmm. Keep making the noise.
Yeah.
Oh, they know I do that already.
Yeah, as you continue to grow, keep squeaking the wheel. Man.
That's right. And it's like, listen, when you come in and say, hey, we're a success. We were doing 3 field trips. You said that you wanted us to reach this many people based upon our comp plan, what we're trying to do. That is the funding driver for the city budget. And
we are getting ready to, same thing as John, we do have seasonal positions for camp that'll start opening up too. So we'll be full-fledged in summer camp and still running a facility, so.
Yeah. I mean, when you start showing how many people you serve, how many people outside of our market area we draw to it through tourists and recreation mm-hmm. and economic development within the community, when we start talking about the West Ocala Community Plan and how we're changing, as we've pointed out, the image of West Ocala with a positive community group out there through our splash pads mm-hmm. and water pads, and we're deterring the criminal element. All that is found in our comp plan. The comp plan drives the city's budget. And when we correlate that as a board to economic development and sustainability of the city that puts Ocala on the map mm-hmm. for job creation because people want to move here, that gets the city council's attention. But if it just comes up and says, you know what, we had, you know, 8 kids that couldn't attend a field trip today, you know,
right.
You know, it's got to see how all this ties in together.
Do you heads and beds.
Yeah.
So you know from where they're from?
So, well, it's all on ActiveNet, so yeah. So, when
so you
they
can
pay,
see if they're from
all,
Gainesville or Crystal River. Okay. Mm-hmm.
The only thing that we just started tracking, we didn't know that this wasn't being tracked, was the Discovery Center is part of ASTC, the Association of Science and Technology Centers. And so if someone has a membership with another ASTC participant from a different state or a different county or whatever, we have a reciprocal agreement. So they're able to come to the Discovery Center for free, essentially, 2 adults and 2 children. On that reciprocal basis. So because of ActiveNet, we didn't have all that
right.
in the system, but we worked all that out, and so we're counting those folks as well. And then there's also a numbering system for members. So once folks have signed up to be a member, we can count. You know, they may have a membership for 4 people, but 3 come 1 time, 4 come the next, or whatever. Now we have a way to sort of count what that is.
Okay. Any additional comments by board members? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion
to adjourn. Okay. So moved. Motion made and seconded. All in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, you're late.
I attended a